Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for May 19, 2014. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Also this half hour, we'll take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. In agricultural news, a Senate House Conference Committee has completed its work on a bill that would upgrade and repair locks and dams on the Mississippi and Illinois rivers. We'll have that and other stories. Also this half hour, Todd Gleason reports on the battle over biodiesel is heating up on Capitol Hill, and we'll have the latest in agricultural weather. It's all on the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Today's programming is made possible in part by the Friends of WILL and by Country Financial Representative Scott Jackson, Village at the Crossing in Champaign, committed to helping clients achieve their retirement income goals since 1990. Online at scottjacksonfinancial.com.
Let's see how futures settled on this Monday afternoon. Hard red July winter wheat, 768 and three quarters, up one. September, 774 and a half, up one and a quarter. Soft July wheat settled at 674 and a half, up a quarter. September, 683 and three quarters, up a half. July corn, 477 and a quarter, down six and a quarter. September, 475 and a half, down five and three quarters. December, 475 and three quarters, down five and a quarter. Go out to July of 15 at 495 and a half, down four and a half. July soybeans settled at 1485 and a quarter, up 20 and a quarter. September, 1293 and a quarter, up 19 and a quarter. November, 1238 and three quarters, up 17 and a quarter. July soybean meal settled at $4.90.50, up $10.30. July soybean oil settled at $40.42, down 33. June live cattle, these are last trades, $139.40, up $1.50. May feeders, $188.50, up $1.20. June lean hogs, 119.52 and a half. They are up 60. And those are your settlements and last trades from the Chicago Board of Trade.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Looking at meteorologist Drew Lerner's weather highlights, he says an overall improving trend for field work will occur in much of the Midwest through the next 2 weeks. The focus of rain should not persist in any one area long enough to cause lasting interruptions to planting, and many areas will see several days of mostly dry conditions at a time. The eastern Corn Belt will see the least rain through this weekend, and aggressive planting should occur in many areas. A timely increase in rain is still expected Wednesday through Friday in the southwestern Corn Belt, where some areas are running short on soil moisture. The rain should come in the form of scattered showers, but the showers will develop daily from Wednesday through Friday, and total coverage during the period should be high. Little additional follow-up rain of significance is expected through the first days of June, and the southwestern Corn Belt will need greater rain in early June to ensure favorable conditions for crops continue.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Dave.
We'll get to that spike high in the soybean market in just a moment, but I want to start on the livestock side where futures continue to be red, red hot. August feeder cattle, 196.22 and a half, up 290, and it looks like $2 a hundred weight is just around the corner.
Yeah, they're just bound and determined to push it up to the $2 level. Lower corn values help, you know, spark a little bit of interest there, but you know, continue to look at tight numbers and you know, fairly good profitability in the beef sector. So these feeders are running for a premium here, and I imagine $2 would be the next stop.
In fact, I think if you look at a wave four, it's like $2.11.
Well, give or take, yeah. They're just on fire. They've been on fire, for over a couple of years now, and just unbelievable what livestock values are compared to past history.
So is there anything that can stop that freight train from running that you can think of?
Well, it would be mad cow or, some type of an event somewhere in the world that could, come overnight to give reason to run for cover. It's one of these runaway markets. Everyone that's been selling the market and trying to pick a top's been just beat up fairly badly here, and we could run into some, type of profit taking, of course, but, higher grain values or the fear of higher grain values would send the beef complex back to the downside.
Okay. Let's talk about higher grain values, and let's not even do that. Let's talk about oil seed values and soybeans in particular. What has gotten into the November contract today?
Well, the soybean complex continues to be the one on fire, up near the old highs, whereas the corn and the wheat had a tremendous sell-off. The funds bought around 12,000 contracts of beans on the day. The old crop, new crop spread tested some support in that 230 area and held and saw reversal of that spread as we went into midday. Several events. One is some of these bean bulls have taken the carryout estimate clear down under 100 million bushels, down to 95 million bushels, and saying we're just going to have to continue to import beans here to satisfy domestic demand. Further confidence in that type of stance gave the market some buying power here as we went into midday. Then, too, we saw the trade become a little bit more excited about new crop potential here as we see the concern in Asia that possibly bean acreage in Asia could be down due to their new farm policy program there. And also, too, there's ideas that maybe corn planting progress made a little bit more headway than that 72% level. As you watched Twitter or some of the social media, all you saw was stuck tractors around, not maybe saying they didn't get stuff planted, but they're making a serious attempt to plant, even though it might be too wet. So those numbers might be a little higher, too. But we'll see what develops here. I think overall the funds have made a tremendous amount of money being long bean short corn, being long bean short wheat, per se. And I think they reestablished those positions here with the idea they could pick up some cash here over the next few weeks.
Can you foresee beans in November making a summit at the top of that 1248? And if we could punch through it, where might we go?
That's a good observation there. That's been a key resistance level to watch, this 1240 level in general. If you go back to the Fibonacci retracement levels, if you take the contract high versus the contract low, a significant resistance here in this mid 1240 area. if we would happen to close above 1250 for say, that's just the stage to maybe run on up to 1275, 1280 area. In order to do that, I would think the July beans would have to take over a tremendous amount of leadership to pull it on up through there.
Mm-hmm. So if you're a hedger and you have some puts in place, would you want to roll them up at this point or no?
1250 was a target to give that look. Volatility picked up a little bit, so you got to kind of watch to see if it pays to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I know some of our competitors just like to roll, but we like to make sure it's profitable to the producer or there's a good reason to do it. We just hate doing something just to be doing it. So it's something that needs to be considered. Also, too, if you look at that 1245 area, for those that don't have the downside protection on, that'd be a spot to give that a whirl.
So locks them in right around the 1245 area. Let's turn our attention then to corn, which compared to the beans didn't have that pizzazz to it. But you can say it's standing in tall at suspected support levels and maybe in the process of turning sideways.
Yeah, we've been nice to have a good old-fashioned reversal here. Maybe we can get a little lower trade tonight and get that turnaround Tuesday going for Wayne tomorrow to get some type of reversal action. But if you look at the technical picture on the charts, if you take the January low versus the high we made here a month ago, today's low is close to that 50% area. So I would be looking for the trade to sort of be kind of cautious and pushing the short side here. At this level here and see if we can't see some type of recovery bounce on it. Time counts are ripe for some cyclical lows. If the momentum indicators can turn up, maybe we see some short covering or some new buying interest take hold at these lower levels.
And I would think that if you need some fundamental reasons, all you got to do is look at the calendar.
Well, true. We still got a little time yet. Probably the biggest thing on the calendar is for the guys in the north and northwest.
The preventive plan at what, May 25th?
And I think that the anticipation was guys would switch to beans, but I think they're just going to go ahead and take prevent plan. So that was probably a catalyst in the bean spark, too, that we might not get those extra acres that's switching from corn to beans.
Do you like December corn at some point making another attempt on an assault at the 517 and better?
I would think we'd see something here to give us a reason to see some recovery bounce. I don't think at this point in time we're just going to go up and make new highs or get to that 525 area that we were looking at here 2 weeks ago. But I would say, if we get a reversal or hold this 50% level, first objective would be this 490, 495 area. Then you got to go from there.
Thank you very much, Kurt.
All right, take care, Dave.
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. He joins us every Monday afternoon right here on the Closing Market Report.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
In agricultural news, House and Senate negotiators unveiled the final conference agreement on the Water Resources Reform Development Act, which will make critical reforms to funding for port dredging and how the Army Corps of Engineers proposes and funds projects. The House and Senate must vote to approve the bill before it's sent to the White House for the president's signature. The WRDA bill redefines major projects eligible for funding from the Inland Waterways Trust Fund. It increases the cost level from $14 million to $20 million and adjusts annually for inflation. It also forces the Army Corps to prioritize projects based upon risk of failure and economic benefit to the nation, and requires the Corps to make reforms to ensure on-time and on-budget performance. The bill will allow $56 million of industry-paid user fees to fund much-needed restoration to broken down locks on the upper Mississippi and Illinois River system. Archer Daniels Midland Company is building a sweetener and soluble fiber manufacturing complex in North China on the Yellow Sea. The complex is ADM's first wholly owned food ingredient production facility in China. Construction of the sweetener facility is expected to be fully operational in early 2015, with the soluble fiber facility operational in the second half of 2015. The International Sugar Organization says that global production of the sweetener is set to fall short of consumption in 2015, snapping four consecutive years of oversupply, largely due to falling output in top exporter Brazil. The supply concerns are driving sugar prices. Raw sugar futures rose 4.1% last week, the biggest weekly percentage gain in almost 2 months. Extremely dry weather in Brazil early this year hurt the sugar cane's development. Brazil is a source of about one-fifth of the world's sugar. Appropriation bills are moving forward in both the House and Senate, where legislators are scheduled this week to mark up bills for USDA, the Food and Drug Administration, and related agencies. It's expected that there will be robust debates in both chambers when the subject of funding for nutrition initiatives, such as the school breakfast and lunch programs and the Women, Infants, and Children's Program, are brought forward. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Support for biodiesel made from soybeans is coming to a head in Washington, D.C. Todd Gleason reports farmers, politicians, and biodiesel producers want continued support of the renewable fuel.
There are two pieces to the development of the biodiesel energy segment. The first is the $1 per gallon tax incentive. Democratic senators from North Dakota, Minnesota, Indiana, Washington, and Illinois are hopeful it will be retroactively reinstated for 2013 and put in place for 2014 as part of the tax extenders package now under discussion in Congress. However, it may be important to note that the some 200 biodiesel plants around the nation produced nearly 1.8 billion gallons of the advanced biofuel last year without the aid of the incentive. Well, that's because the incentive expired, says Ann Steckel.
This is the third time it's expired in the last 5 years, so clearly federal policy has been very uncertain for our industry. But despite all of that, we did have a record year of production.
Steckel is vice president for federal affairs at the National Biodiesel Board. Again, 2013 was a record year for biodiesel production. However, it was only operated at about two-thirds capacity, which, and this is the second important point, is close to double the federal biomass-based diesel requirement under the original Renewable Fuels Standard, or RFS. So, biodiesel production in the United States last year was greater than required by the federal law mandating renewable fuels be used. That's the RFS implemented by US EPA, and it did that without the aid of a tax incentive. Still, Democratic senators stood in support of both the tax incentive and an increase in the biomass-based diesel portion of the RFS. Well, Illinois Senior Senator Dick Durbin says it's because the fuel is clean, homegrown, and creates jobs.
This industry creates real good-paying jobs. Five different biofuels processing facilities in my state and more than 5,000 people with associated employment. When there's uncertainty about the future of biofuels, there's uncertainty about these jobs. And I care about that like every other senator who's gathered here today. So first and foremost, let's take care of the tax credit part of this. Let's get the extender bill done, which includes this biofuel tax credit. And secondly, beyond the biofuel tax credit, let's make sure that we continue to plead our case with the EPA.
US EPA will, in June, release the Federal Renewable Fuels Standard. It, as proposed, would set the bio-based diesel requirement at 1.28 billion gallons. The industry, the Biodiesel Board, and some senators would like that number to be closer to 1.8 billion gallons. They'd like to protect the industry, the jobs, and they say, the environment. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now with a look at the cash grain is Greg Johnson of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Greg.
Good afternoon, Dave.
In a little over a half hour, we'll get the latest from NASS on crop progress. But I would think that here in Champaign County, our home county, there's not a lot of corn left to plant.
No, we were, 80%, I think, in our region of the state last week, and very little got done last week. But, the weather forecast looks a lot better for this week. So I think, the Western Corn Belt probably passed us up. Iowa and Nebraska probably passed us up when the numbers come out today. But I think we'll see Illinois get done planting corn this week.
So when we get a national average today, 70% or better north, what do you think it implies for the early part of the growing season?
I would like to think that the trade would, look past the 75, 80% number and wonder when the last 10% is going to get planted. It's those northern tiers of states that, we can get to 90% planted after this week pretty quickly, but when are those last 10% of the acres going to get planted? And if they can get those planted up in North Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan either this week or next week, then I think the market breathes a sigh of relief. But I don't know what the weather holds for those areas. It's been awful cold and wet up there. It's going to take a few days to dry out, and it'll be interesting to see what the progress shows in those four northern states.
And prevented planted date is, I think, it's May 25th.
Exactly. And they have a shorter growing season up there, too. So I know they like to plant corn, and they want to plant corn, but if you can't, I guess.
All right. So we saw soybeans make a surprising spike northerly in the November contract today. What do you make of that?
It's amazing, to me that the new crop beans are as strong as they are. I know they're getting some, spillover strength from the old crop, and I don't argue, why old crop mm-hmm. beans are strong. We just have so few left. We have to make sure that we keep the price high enough to, cut down the demand and stimulate those imports from South America. But new crop beans, I think, are kind of riding the coattails of the old crop beans, and sooner or later, those old crop beans are going to have to stand on their own. And if we plant as many acres as what the government says, and if we have decent weather this summer, and those are two big ifs, then bean prices probably are due to go down by fall.
If you're going to pry more corn out of the hands of producers who have seen it decline pretty significantly on the board, is base is going to have to do some work in the next few weeks?
Yes, although I don't know how much work the bases can do. The bases can go up a nickel or so, but we've lost almost 50 cents in the corn market, and so farmers probably, once they have it planted, will be willing to sell on a rally. So if we can gain back 20-25 cents of that, then I think you'll see farmers sell. But maybe we need to see 15 or 20 of that out of the board, and maybe a nickel of that out of the basis.
All right, Greg, why don't we get your prices today then?
Okay, cash corn is 466 for old crop corn, 451 for new crop. Beans are 1510 for old crop beans, 1219 for new crop beans. And new crop wheat is 682.
Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Dave.
Greg Johnson of the Andersons, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. In 2 minutes, I'll be back with a look at agricultural weather with the folks from Earth Risk Technologies Incorporated out of Chicago. It's National Devil's Food Cake Day, also known as Red Velvet Cake, Red Devil's Cake, and $100 Cake. The dark, rich chocolate dessert dates back to at least the early 20th century. In 1902, the recipe first appeared in an American cookbook, and it found its way across magazines and cookbooks by 1913. The original recipe was a combination of mild chocolate flavoring, flour, sugar, eggs, shortening, and red dye number 40. By the way, when red dye was linked to cancer in the 1970s, the red color gave way to the chocolate variety popular today. On this day in agricultural history in 1834,
Catherine Furbish was born, an American botanist. She spent almost 40 years traveling and painting watercolors of the flora of the state of Maine. In 1910, the Earth passed through the tail of Halley's Comet and nothing happened. There had been dire predictions that everyone would die, and many hucksters sold comet pills to counter the effects of the comet gas. The pills sold like crazy. On May 20th, after Earth had passed through the tail, everyone who had taken the pills was still alive, but then so was everyone else. When Halley's Comet returned in 1986, a Michigan museum offered comet pills to commemorate the 1910 scare. The new pills were actually a healthy snack of yogurt-covered sunflower seeds. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for our look at agricultural weather is Mark Russo from Earth Risk Technologies Incorporated in Chicago. Good afternoon, Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, David.
Well, I think I heard you say a word that many producers will be happy to hear, heat, back in the forecast.
Yeah, which we deserve here in Illinois after the past 6 to 9 months that we've endured here. And really, the cold pattern is breaking, and with the unseasonably cool weather of last week, that is now a thing of the past. And overall, across actually much of the central and eastern U.S., the jet stream pattern is rearranging into a pattern that features more kind of broad scale warmth across much of the central and eastern U.S. We really don't see any kind of extreme heat moving in, but overall temperatures as we go through the next couple of weeks. And we like to kind of analyze things in five-day blocks here, but for example, the next 5 days here, talk about 2 to 3 degrees warmer than normal, and the days 6 to 10, about 4 to 6 degrees warmer than normal, and that basically translates to high temperatures in the 70s and 80s. Yeah, quite a change here from the patterns here of late.
The question that traders are trying to answer for themselves is looking at a prevented planting date of May 25th for a bunch of the northern tier, North Dakota, and the like. What is the likelihood, given the weather pattern, that some corn will get in the ground?
As far as the specifics up across the Dakotas, certainly things are lining up here, at least for some percentage of the crop not to be planted here, just to the excessively wet conditions. Tough to really put a number on mm-hmm. it, but the way that the pattern has been up there, and even continuing into this past weekend, whereas much of the Corn Belt did see drier conditions, it was that far northwestern part of the Corn Belt and up into the Canadian prairies that did see some of the higher totals. And so certainly with that date here coming to an end, there'll likely be some percentage of the debate is how much. But from a forecast standpoint, it does look like they will at least have some opportunities. It's just a matter of how wet each individual field is. So kind of a field by field situation, and that's something we'll fully assess here this week.
And just very quickly, scattered showers in the next week or so?
Yeah, just scattered light totals here intermittently. So mm-hmm. rather than like a big wide-scale rain event or any kind of frequent rain activity, we really just don't see that here across not only Illinois but across much of the north-central part of the country.
Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome, Dave.
Mark Russo, and he is with Earth Risk Technologies Incorporated out of Chicago. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember to subscribe to our free Ag e-newsletter. You can do that at willag.org. Click on the subscribe link in the right navigation window. This is Dave Dickey.